I call Senate Resource Committee to order. Today is Monday, March 19th, 2018. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:30 p.m. Committee members present, Senator Meyer, Senator Stedman, Senator Von Imhoff, Vice Chair Senator Coghill, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilkowski, and myself, Senator Giesel. Thank you to Ann and Doug, who are helping us out, keeping the minutes and running the audio for us. Today we have two items on our agenda. First, we're going to hear from two new appointees, and then secondly, we will have a second hearing on Senator Stedman's Senate Joint Resolution 13 related to sea otters. So, first item, the committee has already heard several appointees to the Big Game Services Board, and we have one more today. So, Mr. Jason Bunch is online, I believe. I see him there from the Kodiak LIO. He is in need of catching a flight here rather imminently, so we're going to hear from him first. Mr. Bunch, welcome to the committee. If you would introduce yourself for the record and tell us a little bit about why you seek a position on the Big Game Services Board and what your contribution to that board might be.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thanks for seeing me first this afternoon. For the record, my name is Jason Bunch. I'm seeking confirmation to the Guide Outfitter seat of the Big Game Commercial Services Board. I was kind of prepared to give you a little history on myself, but I'll skip that and go right to why I want to would like to be confirmed for this seat. I had a 20-year career with the United States Coast Guard as a helicopter rescue swimmer. There's only 300 rescue swimmers in the United States. And so they are, by all rights, professionals. And when I left that organization and moved to another occupation, I found guiding. And when I came to the guide field, I was just blessed and fortunate enough to be surrounded by professional guides, not just guys with no formal education who are vagabonds in their lives, but men who saw guiding as an occupation, and they staked their lives to it. And so watching them, they were they're all very plugged into advisory committees, to the public process, board of game, always paying attention to different regulations and statutes that are governing not just guiding but natural resources and even the state's admin code for the regulations for hunting. And they were just really in tune with that. And I quickly was able to separate the professional guides from a vagabond-style person who is just kind of using state resources or using resources but not really thinking about what they're doing in the long, for the long term. And so I wanted to be I wanted to follow that kind of mold, and now here's my opportunity to prove to those men that spent a lot of time with me that I can fill those shoes and be a good steward of Alaska's natural resources.
That's great. Thank you for telling us about your history and interest in this. Committee members, any questions for Mr. Bunch? Yes, Senator Bishop.
Mr. Bunch, thank you for applying. Your resume is very impressive, to say the least. I have one question for you. Have you ever read Pinnell and Taliesin's book?
Well, Senator Bishop, through the chair, thanks for that question. Actually, I have read their book. I'll go a little bit further. One stormy night, we were flying in a H-60 helicopter from Cold Bay to Kodiak. We had just done a medevac about 200 miles offshore of Cold Bay. We're flying back, and we get a it was a 121.5 beacon transmit over our radios in the helicopter. And so we turned our direction finding equipment on, and the needle swung to the right, and so the pilot swung the helicopter to the right, and we followed that beacon to the Sturgeon River. And there was two men in the Sturgeon River. One had a little headlamp, and we could see them. And so they came into a hover, and they lowered me down. I ran over to them, and trying to figure out what's going on and what the distress is. And those men had flipped the raft and lost all their belongings, all their safety equipment. The only thing they had was that little pen light that was in their pocket and a 121.5 emergency beacon that they had shoved in their jacket pocket. And so we took them back to the air station, and we got them dried up and got them some food and got them some place to stay for the night and sent them on their way. And about 3 months later, I think his name was Mr. Clark, who wrote one of those books, sent me a letter saying thank you for the hospitality and picking him up on the Sturgeon River, and sent me a copy of that book. And I've read it a couple of times now, and it's a pretty dear book to me because how fortunate was I to help him some years later after writing that book.
Thank you.
Mr. Bunch, this is Senator Giesel again. One of the things I notice here is that you're being probably filling a vacancy on the board that is only for 1 year. Is that something you're aware of?
Madam Chair, yes, thanks for pointing that out. I am, and I'm okay with that. It's 1 year to kind of assess if I'm the right man for the job and if I can make the impact that I want to make. It will be an easy decision to go through this next year all over again and ask for reappointment.
Okay, great. This board does allow two consecutive terms, either partial or full terms. One of the big challenges of the Big Game Commercial Services Board is their budget. The law requires that these regulatory boards fund themselves so that the licensing fees pay for the cost of running that regulatory board. And in the case of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, they have actually had, just a few years ago, $1 million debt. So recently raised licensing fees, but it is a priority topic for that board. Are you aware of that, and have you given any thought to that?
Madam Chair, yeah, thank you for that question. I am very aware of it. I've been following the Big Game Commercial Services Board since 2012 when Mr. Rohr first drug me to those and showed me what was going on. And right now I think we're currently at $500,000, so we're making a dent in that debt. We've taken the proper steps to increase licensing, an annual $300 kind of a filing fee for hunt records, just another way for us to collect revenue. And it looks like we're making a major impact on that debt. 2019 is the suggested timeline of getting to a zero balance. And already we're already discussing ways to put maybe revenue that we continue to collect to good work and maybe help us in our duties as a board and maybe help the division with that extra money that we think we'll have once we pay that debt off. As far as having budgetary responsibilities, I am the owner of two small businesses. They're successful without debt, so I definitely am monetarily minded. I think the biggest challenge is going to be the biggest challenge with when you talk about money spending with the Big Game Commercial Services Board is that the division oftentimes makes those decisions, not the board. And so I hope that my position on the board will help assist the division at times when spending is unavoidable.
I appreciate your answer, Mr. Bunch. It sounds like you're very well informed about the issue and also how it works. So thanks very much for that. Any other questions for Mr. Bunch? I don't see any. So thank you so much for visiting with us. I know that you are hoping to get on a plane, but if you could hang on, we're now turning to the other appointee, and then we're going to take public testimony. We might have some questions after that if you're still available.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll hang here for a few more minutes. Thank you.
Okay, great. So next we're going to go to the State Assessment Review Board. Excuse me. Mr. William Westover is a first-time appointee to this board. He's calling in from Anchorage. Mr. Westover, welcome. If you could introduce yourself, please, and tell us why you're interested in this board.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is William Westover, and I am here seeking confirmation to this assessment, the State Assessment Review Board. I have about 25 years of appraisal experience, both private and public. The last 19 have been spent in property assessment work for the government, specializing in special use properties and regulated utility valuations. And I've known a few people on the board in the past and followed some of the previous hearings and found it very interesting. And when an opportunity came for a vacancy, I decided to apply. The state of Alaska, been a resident since 1966, has been really good to my family. And the opportunity and the time is available to me now to try and do something to give back to the state. And so that is my motivation at this point.
Very good. Committee members, any questions for Mr. Westover? Senator Coghill.
First of all, I want to thank you for being willing to give back into Alaska. Did I hear you say that you've actually attended some of their board meetings?
To the chair, Senator Coghill, yes, I have.
So what are some of the tougher issues that they deal with? Because it looks to me like you're pretty much an appeals board, right?
Correct. They hear the appeals from the oil and gas industry predominantly on the valuation that the State Resources Department assigns to oil and gas assets. If they can't resolve that through the appeal process, we're kind of like a board of equalization.
Senator Coghill, follow-up?
First of all, thank you. And I know when it comes to that, the state has not only looked for tariff relief, but in your particular arena, whatever the valuation appeal is, do you go down into the local distribution pipes as well?
Through the chair, Senator Coghill, could you repeat the question? I'm not sure I understood.
A local distribution like Anchorage is a utility. So on the valuations, do their assessments come up to this board or do they go somewhere else? I'm asking the dumb.
To the chair, Senator Coghill, the municipality of Anchorage has its their assessment appeals are heard by the assembly, who has been assigned a local board to hear those and stay at the assembly.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Committee members, any other questions for Mr. Westover? All right, seeing none, I'm going to now open public testimony on these two appointees. So I am allowing members of the public to call in. Or if anyone here in the room wishes to testify, I will limit testimony to 2 minutes. Please identify the appointee you're speaking either in support or opposition to, or if you're speaking to both, please let us know that too. Is there anyone here in the room in Juneau who wishes to testify either on Mr. Westover's appointment or Mr. Bunch's appointment? Seeing none, online, let's see, I see a person, Wayne Cubitt, who is signed on. Mr. Cubitt, welcome. Give us your testimony, please, after identifying yourself and your affiliation.
Okay, I'm Wayne Cubitt. I'm Vice President of Alaska Professional Hunters Association, APHA for short. I'm representing APHA today in my testimony. APHA supports the confirmation of Jason Bunch to the Big Game Commercial Services Board. Jason is a 20-plus year resident of Alaska, and since he became a registered guide in 2012, has been an active participant in Board of Game and Big Game Commercial Service Board activities. I personally sat with him in several subcommittees of the Big Game Commercial Services Board, and he has excellent computer skills, and his participation was key in reformatting our current hunt record. Jason is very personable and respectful, yet brings passion and energy to all that he does. Being that he is from Kodiak, we feel he will give the board perspective and knowledge on the coastal and island areas of Alaska. We feel he is very fair-minded, results-oriented, and that he will work hard and come up to speed fast. We think he will be a very valuable asset to the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cubitt, for your testimony. I don't see anyone else online wishing to testify. So I'm going to close public testimony on these two appointees. Committee members, do you have any other questions you'd like to ask of Mr. Westover or Mr. Bunch? All right. I guess you guys are both off the hook then, Mr. Westover and Mr. Bunch. Thank you so much for joining us today. And again, on behalf of the entire committee, thank you for being willing to serve the state in these volunteer positions. So at this time, I'm going to read the motion related to these appointees. In accordance with AS 3905080, the Resources Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Assessment Review Board, William Westover, Anchorage. Big Game Commercial Services Board, Jason Bunch, Kodiak. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. Committee members are now signing this document, this committee report, and when we're done, we'll come back on the record. So at this point, we'll take a brief at ease. So the next subject up is Senate Joint Resolution 13, sponsored by Senator Stedman. This resolution was first heard on March 12th, so that was last Monday. At that hearing, public testimony was opened and concluded. Today, there's a proposed committee substitute before us. This proposed committee substitute was posted online on BASIS for the public last Friday. Senator Coghill, may I have a motion related to the committee substitute?
Madam Chair, I move the committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 13, Work Order 30LS1408/uniform before the committee as our working document.
And I'll object for discussion. Mr. Raro, welcome. Would you go through the proposed changes for the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Randy Raro. I'm staff to Senator Stedman. Last name is R-U-A-R-O. Madam Chair, there are two changes between version J to version U. On page 4, line 3, there's a new resolved clause added to urge the Secretary of the Interior to waive the requirements of the Marine Mammal Protection Act to allow the taking of sea otters in southeast Alaska. In addition, on page 4, lines 28 and 29, the language "who is enrolled under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act" is added to those Alaska Natives who would be eligible to legally take sea otters.
Very good. Are there any questions from committee members? Seeing none, I will remove my objection and therefore adopting the committee substitute, so it is before us now. Any further discussions?
Madam Chair, there's a conceptual amendment.
Thank you. Senator Coghill, if you would offer that conceptual amendment.
Sure. Madam Chair, I move a conceptual amendment to the adopted committee substitute, which would be as follows. On page 3, line 2, we would delete the word either. And then on page 3, line 3, delete the language starting from, or quote, or to be enrolled under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. That would be the amendment, Madam Chair. And maybe I could have the member speak to whether or not they'll accept it.
Thank you for the motion. I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Raro, would you like to speak to the conceptual amendment?
Sure, Madam Chair. The language that Senator Coghill described to be deleted is simply an error in the drafting. That language is actually related to a resolve clause as to relief that the resolution is seeking. It's not current law. So that's the change.
Thank you. With that, I'll remove my objection to the conceptual amendment. Is there further discussion or questions concerning any part of the resolution or the conceptual amendment? Seeing none, we have closed public testimony. Online, however, I have here in the room, Chris Krenz from ADF&G, and on the line is Bruce Dale from ADF&G, Wildlife Division, as well as Hazel Nelson, Division Director for Subsistence, Alaska Fish and Game. Are there any questions for any of these folks? Senator Wilikowski.
I don't know if Fish and Game has weighed in on this, whether they support or oppose it. They've stated that.
Well, we could certainly ask them. Mr. Krenz, you're here in the room.
For the record, my name is Chris Krenz. I'm the Wildlife Science Coordinator in the Division of Wildlife at ADF&G. The department is neutral on this resolution.
Great. Thank you for that. Senator Wilikowski, another question?
Yeah. Does Fish and Game believe that the sea otters are impacting the fisheries in any way, in a detrimental way or positive way?
Through the chair, it's very clear that sea otters have a very large impact on the ecosystem, and they have resulted in very low numbers of shellfish in several fishery areas. I'm not sure if Director Kelly is online, but if he is, he could speak to that.
Director Kelly isn't online. We have...
Yep.
Oh, he is? Okay. Sorry, I don't see you on my little screen here, but if you're online, Mr. Kelly, please give us your testimony.
Yes. For the record, this is Scott Kelly, the Director of Commercial Fisheries Division, and I just came in, so I'm not sure if maybe someone could repeat the question. That would be great.
That will be great. Senator Wilikowski had the question.
Yeah, thank you. I started out asking whether the department or Fish and Game supported this resolution, and then was told you were neutral. But then my second question was that what research have you done, has Fish and Game done, and I guess do you believe that the sea otters are impacting the fisheries in any way?
Yeah, through the chair. Yes, we do believe that sea otters are impacting commercial and subsistence important species. Specifically, the department conducts dive surveys, scuba diving surveys for three miscellaneous shellfish species, sea cucumbers, gooey duck clams, and red sea urchins, and we've noticed often sea otters preying on these creatures that are important for commercial fisheries and, of course, subsistence. And we've, in fact, closed 12 sea cucumber areas and 6 gooey duck areas and 10 red sea urchin areas specifically because of sea otter predation. Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Director Kelly. Further questions, Senator Wilikowski?
Go back to my first question. With that knowledge, is there a reason you don't support the resolution?
Is that directed to Director
yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I think that was directed at me.
Yes, it
and
was.
And yes, the department is neutral on the resolution, but I mean, that's, we're calling in to support, present the data that is related to the species that are being asked about.
Further questions? Senator Stedman.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering if the department has any forward-looking opinions or projections on future impacts on the three mentioned fisheries and subsistence access.
Is this for Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes, Madam Chair. I understand the question, Senator Stedman's question, the forward-looking part of that. I think it's safe to say, very safe to say, that sea otters will continue to expand their range in the region. That's been well documented over the last several years since the transport, the reintroduction. I think it's very clear that additional commercial fishing areas will be closed for these three miscellaneous shellfish species. And I think this is where I get a little less certain, because we don't do assessments on Dungeness crab in the region. But I think it's pretty clear that as those animals, sea otters, get into, they're getting close to the very heart of the commercial Dungeness crab fishery in the region. And once that happens, I think there's going to be some very significant effects on that fishery. When that might happen is, I can't say, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Director Kelly. Senator Stedman, any follow-up?
No, but I would just like to note, Madam Chairman, that the rate of harvest has gone down from almost 1,500 animals in the last 5 years down to 800 and, say, 50 in the mid-800s. So the harvest level's going down, and the population's growing at a targeted rate of 13%. So it doesn't have to – we're not talking decades here. We're talking years before they're into the core grounds of the Dungeness fishing area. And some of our canals and rivers. Canal being Duncan Canal, and they can fly in there today and see a big herd from what I understand. And that's moving from Level Island into Duncan Canal. It should be quite the feasting grounds.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Senator Meyer, did you have a question?
I did. Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Kelly, you mentioned that sea otters prey on shellfish and other other things. What preys on sea otters?
Through the chair, that might be a better question for Wildlife Division, but I know for certainty that there's many reports of killer whales, particularly out west in the Aleutians, preying on sea otters. Maybe I'll stop there and see if Dr. Krentz has any input. Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Director Kelly. Mr. Krentz.
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, sharks as well will take sea otters from time to time. We do not believe that they're certainly not a level of predation on sea otters currently to slow down the growth. As Senator Stedman mentioned, it is growing at about 13% per year in southeast Alaska.
Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and this is to whoever online from ADF&G that can answer the question. Has the department completed a economic study on the loss of the commercial Dungeness crab fleet take and also the subsistence take? Because that has an economic impact, too, when you can't fill your local freezer.
Sure. You know, I'm seeing Hazel Nelson, who is the Division Director for Subsistence at ADF&G. Ms. Nelson, would you like to field that question?
Madam Chair, this is Director Nelson, Subsistence Division. I believe the managers would have a more accurate answer. They manage those, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. We'll go to Director Kelly then. Director,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. I can say that the Division of Commercial Fisheries does manage the subsistence shellfish fisheries in southeast Alaska. I can say that we have not closed any subsistence shellfish fisheries. And as far as I'm concerned, we wouldn't, sea otters or no sea otters. I can't quantify the economic or even the has subsistence harvest gone down now compared to 10 or 20 years ago? I don't have that information. There hasn't been a formal economic study done on the impacts to commercial fisheries, the three miscellaneous dive fisheries, and Dungeness crab. What we can do, because there's while we know sea otters have a significant impact on those creatures, there are also a lot of other factors that do affect the abundance of those animals. And again, as I said, we don't do formal assessments on dungy crab, but we do for the miscellaneous shellfish, and there's large-scale environmental factors that drive abundance. So short answer is we haven't done any formal economic studies on the impacts of those fisheries. Madam Chair?
Thank you, Director Kelly. Senator Wilikowski had another question.
Yeah, thank you. I think as far as predators go, Senator Stedman might be considered an apex predator of the otter. But maybe couple hundred years ago, what was it that kept the sea otters in check then and kept them from decimating the fishery at that time? Do you have any sense? Or is there something that's changed in the ecosystem?
Mr. Krenz?
Senator Giesel, through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. There was a very different looking ecosystem back before the Russian fur trade started and sea otters were hunted to very low numbers. And at that time, the ecosystem looked very different. There weren't the same invertebrate resources. We do not believe that there were the same invertebrate resources, shellfish resources available at that time. We do know of some information that local folks would hunt sea otters in particular areas and protect clam beaches or crab areas for them. And I believe that the Division of Subsistence has documented some of that information.
Very interesting. Committee members, any further questions for ADF&G or the sponsor? All right. Seeing none, we have, thank you, by the way, Mr. Krenz, Mr. Kelly, Bruce Dale, and Ms. Nelson were also online. Thank you so much for being here today and answering all these questions. So with that, we have a conceptually amended committee substitute before us. If there are no further questions, Senator Stedman, did I see you raising your hand?
Or just for closing comments?
Welcome. Please give us your comments.
It'll be short. I think, Madam Chairman, it's time that we take action on this and try to get the additional attention of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So we are having problems with the magnitude of the growth of the sea otter population in coastal Alaska, particularly southeast and other areas, not only on the commercial side but on the subsistence side. And we that live on the coast, a lot of the communities don't have large supermarkets, and daily flights or goods brought in for us to have a litany of choices for what we're going to eat. We actually go out into the onto the beach or into the water or up on the hillside and get what we can gather from Mother Nature. And we're having a severe challenge with the replanted sea otters, letting them grow at an unchecked rate. I think it'd be nice to have sea otters all over southeast Alaska, but at a lower level, and clearly not to a point where they're impacting these other areas of interest. We haven't talked about the tourism trade. We know that the tourism trade is interested in, likes to see sea otters. I think all of us like to watch them in the water. They're very cuddly, cute looking, and kind of fun to watch. We have to have a balance here. And we're not looking for, Madam Chairman, an eradication of the sea otters. This is a slowing of the growth of them. So hopefully this resolution will move forward and it'll help get some attention from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, because we have had federal control taken from us, or given away by us, depending on how you want to look at it. But it's certainly out of our hands. And that was not the case when the state planted them back in Southeast. So we've had the whole table turned on us. And now we have management from afar. And there was an article, I thought a fairly a good article, in ADN a couple days ago on the sea otter issue. What stuck out to me in that article was the comments by the federal folks at the end. And I can't remember if it was a direct quote or an indirect quote, but basically it said that they didn't really care. They added a few more fancy political words. But, you know, we work in a political environment. It's pretty easy to read through those tea leaves. And I think Fish and Wildlife should care. They should care about the humans that live in Southeast Alaska and other areas of coastal Alaska. And the management style of do nothing and after particular beaches or areas are completely decimated, then rule other areas or rule other critters as endangered or threatened because of this. You know, you're into a never-ending cycle of downward mobility, and we need to ask for some federal help and some attention and from the so with that, Madam Chairman, I'd just like to remind everybody that back several years ago in Glacier Bay, there's five or six otters at the mouth of Glacier Bay in 1995, and I think there's estimated 2012 about 8,000 of them. It's a park, so it's, you know, managed a lot different. But if you happen to be a, you know, if you were living in that bay and relying on what you could harvest out of the water or off the beach, you definitely have a different opinion. But that growth in Glacier Bay is similar to other areas in the state. West Prince of Wales, South Baranoff, and they're just coming inland. And now, from what I hear, a big raft of them is sitting in they moved from Level Island, and they're going to decimate a canal next to Petersburg and then go into the mouth of the Stikine. So we're, you know, within just a few years from the first time we've had a resolution here before us, we see these movements. And that canal is Duncan Canal, and it is a beautiful, it's more like a bay, but call it a canal. It's a beautiful recreation area, a lot of good subsistence, great place. It's going to be this unbelievable smorgasbord. And the Stikine is right next door. So with that, Madam Chairman, I urge positive support from the resolution from the committee, and we'll look forward to the action, whatever the committee thinks.
Thank you, Senator Stidman. With that, Senator Coghill, I will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move the CS from of Senate Joint Resolution 13, Work Order 30LS1408, uniform as conceptually amended, from the committee with individual recommendations and the zero fiscal note.
Is there objection? Seeing none, Senate Joint Resolution 13 moves from this committee. While the transmittal document is being signed, I will state this concludes our agenda for today. Our next hearing will be Wednesday, March 21st. At that time, we're going to hear from the Department of Natural Resources. The subject is what their participation is in the natural gas commercialization efforts. So that will be an interesting meeting. So as soon as this document is signed, we are adjourned. Let the record reflect the time is 4:09 p.m.